And we're holding on Nun Amud Aleph by the two dots, a little bit above the middle of the Amud. We learned in the Mishnah about the various 12 different kinds of tumas that are severe, from a mess that are severe enough that a nazir has to shave and bring karbanos and so forth, and so does nazirus over, as opposed to, again, a later Mishnah is going to tell us the other way around. You have certain tumas from a mess, which even though there a person is tamei for 7 days from them and needs to be sprinkled with paradromal water, but nevertheless, he is going to need to be sprinkled, but he doesn't shave and start his nazirus over. His nazirus is just suspended for the 7 days of his tumah, and then he continues from where he left off. That's going to be no korban. So that's going to be the following Mishnah and Dalad Amar Aleph. So we talked about yesterday, because since the pasuk doesn't say if he becomes tumah the nefesh. The expression is v'chiyamus meis olav b'fesa pisa. If a mess dies on him, so the implication is that even within tumah's mess, there are certain tumas that are going to make that he has to start his nazirus over, as described in the psukim, and other kinds of tumas that are not. So we're in the middle of discussing the ones that are. And the Mishnah had set out kazayis nes for kazayis from a body, about kazayis netzel and for kazayis of netzel, which is what we're going to discuss now in the Gemara. So the ezehu no, turn it up on, actually, Tosfos just added the words, the ezehu netzel. What is the definition of netzel? B'san ha-nes shekorash, flesh from the dead body that congealed. So in other words, you have like a liquid that some of the flesh liquefied and then it congealed into like a gel. Umoyhol shehutiach, and also you have liquid that came out of the body that then you boiled. And it got hot enough to form bubbles. So both of those, it would be, in other words, that in both those cases, well, that's what I was going to discuss now. It sounds like both of those are netzel, and therefore both of them would be metame, and then you have all the usual rules. The Mefarish points out that the word netzel comes from a word that can be related to a shodash in Hebrew that means to separate. You have the line Yaakov says to his wives when he's telling them about how he's been working for Lavan all these years, and Lavan cheated him, etc. He uses the expression by Yatzeh Lalikim, Hashem saved, which means Hashem set aside, designated, sheep from your father that ended up by me, because Hashem arranged that other sheep would be born with the colored markings and whatever. So the point is, the word by Yatzel can mean something that is separated that from something else. So the same way over here, you have this liquid, this gel that's separated from the rest of the body. Anyway, so the Gemara asks, Hey Chidami, what exactly is the scenario? Ilema deloyad in a didehu. Are you talking about why are we boiling it to see whether it forms bubbles? If we don't know whether it actually came from the flesh of the mess, or conceivably it might instead be from saliva or mucus of his. Now, saliva or mucus of a mess would not be metame, even if they might not be metame at all. The Gemara elsewhere talks about that really only blood from a mess is metame, or even fine, they might be metame, or tumakala, they might be fine. As they left the body, they touched the mess, and therefore they would be a rishon l'tumah or something, but they certainly wouldn't be an ava tumah to the or avia voisa tumah to the extent that they make the person tumah for 7 days. So if we don't know whether it's a secretion from the actual flesh that liquefied, or whether it's maybe saliva or mucus or whatever, so ki korash mai havi. What's the difference whether it congeals? Even if it congeals, it might have been mucus or something. You can't make the nazir shave and bring karbonus, etc., because of a suffix when you have this stuff over here that might be mucus.
I thought it boiled by itself from the sun. I didn't realize that you have to boil it.
No, we're talking about pasta. Well, the pasta's going to be the same thing, whether you boil it or whether. But we're going to talk about soon, actually. We're going to talk about, we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara, as far as fat, if you boil it versus you leave it out in the sun, where the difference is you leave it out in the sun, it spoils. Here we're talking about netzel was already spoiled, but.
So we're taking something that we're not sure.
So we're taking something that we're not sure and we're boiling it, let's say, yeah. But if we don't know whether it's netzel or whether it's mucus, still, what's the difference whether it congeals or not? The e diad inan ella diad inan didehu. So no, evidently we have to be talking about we know it came from the body of the actual mess. Well then, afalgav deloit karash, then what's the difference whether it congeals or not? Even if it doesn't congeal, if it's from the actual flesh that decayed and liquefied, then it's going to be metame as netzel, whether it congealed or not. So why are we mentioning the point that it congealed? Why does that make a difference? So the answer is, Amar Rav Yirmiyah b'stam. So Rav Yirmiyah says, we're talking about where we know it came from this mess, but we don't know whether in fact it's from liquefied flesh or whether it's mucus. E korash mayalu. So what happens is, if it congeals, then we have every reason, then we know for sure that it's moihol, that it's a secretion from the body, and therefore that it's definitely, definitely netzel, definitely metam. Loy korash, but if it doesn't congeal, dilma kichay v'niyayhu, then it might be just saliva or mucus, and then it may not be metame because at most you have a suffix over here. There are different gersois and different, there are a couple of different gersois and a couple of different explanations over here. In fact, Tosfos does not have the gersa dilma. Tosfos leaves out the word dilma, and therefore what Rav Yirmiyah is saying is that if it doesn't congeal, then we know for a fact that it's mucus, and therefore then it's not metame. And Tosfos says the same thing would be as far as boiling it. If it makes bubbles when you boil it, then we know that it's netzel. But if it doesn't, then we know that it's only saliva or mucus, and it's not metame.
If it congeals, it means once it cools down.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, congeals to begin with would mean actually where to begin with it was never boiled. It got hot enough to liquefy.
But the mucus does congeal.
Wait, what?
Actually, mucus is on the tummy and it does congeal. It does solidify.
But not in the same way as netzel would solidify, though. I mean, So if it congeals in a way that only netzel does. So yeah, when we're talking about congealing, what we mean is, in other words, that it never became hot enough to boil. It just became hot enough to liquefy. And then afterwards it congealed into like a gel. So even mucus wouldn't, even if mucus hardens, it would sort of dry up or whatever. It wouldn't really reach that jelly like consistency that you would have from actual netzel.
So why is he boiling it for then?
So there's two possibilities. One is that you wait to see whether it congeals. The other possibility is you want to check it faster or whatever. So therefore you boil it and see whether it forms bubbles when it's boiling.
If it congeals,
then you already know. Then you don't need to boil it, right? But it's one or the other, right? That's the way Tosfos learns. The Mefarish and some other Rishonim learn. They do have the word Dilma, and they explain what Rav Yirmiyah is saying is that it's true. Even if it doesn't congeal, that's not necessarily that it's not. That it's not netzel, but we have a suffix. It may be netzel or it may be not, but it's true that you can't have a mess shave and bun korbanos because of a suffix. So therefore you would wind up with a suffix. In other words, according to Tosfos and the Rosh, what we're saying is the flow of the Gemara according to Tosfos and also the Rosh is that the Gemara asks that on the face of it, congealing is not really a proof one way or the other, because yeah, mucus can congeal as well. So what is Rav Yirmiyah answering? So what does it mean? Does it mean he's arguing the mitzius that the Gemara started with the question that mucus doesn't, that mucus could congeal and look like netzel, and Rav Yirmiyah is informing us that in fact it doesn't. And he's saying the stam. He's saying only that would only be the case if we don't know whether it was netzel or not. If we knew for a fact it was netzel, it wouldn't matter whether it congeals or not, because either way we'd know that it's netzel. So now, according to the Mefarish and according to Rabbeinu Peretz, the flow of the Gemara is a little bit different. The question was, if we know that it came out of the flesh of the nest, then again, it shouldn't matter whether it congeals or not. And if we don't know whether it came from a mess or whether it came from a living person, then how does it help whether it congeals or not? It still could conceivably be mucus. So Rabbi Yirmiyah is telling us that it's stam. Whether we know or whether we don't know, what we can say is if it congeals, we know for a fact that it's from the body of a mess, because if it was just mucus or whatever, it wouldn't have congealed like that. Meanwhile, if we know for sure that it came from the mess, but if it doesn't congeal, it might conceivably be mucus from him, and therefore it wouldn't be matame. That would be the word dilma. So in other words, Rabbi Yirmiyah would be saying that's true. There's no way to know 100% for sure that it is mucus, but if it congeals in a way that netzel does, then you know it's netzel, and if it doesn't, then you're left with a sum.
Urine from a mess
wouldn't congeal, at least not in the same way. It would basically dry up. What about, we know that a dead animal is metame as a nevela, the mago of a masa, if you touch it or if you carry it. So what does the concept of netzel apply to an animal as well? Suppose you have a kezias of a nevela, of an animal that liquefied and became netzel, would it be metame b'mago v'masa at not? Obviously, the question is not, Tosafos points out, obviously, the question is not as far as a nazir shaving. A nazir doesn't do anything when he touches an animal. It's only tumas mes that makes him shave. But it's a more general question. If a person were to touch a kezias of netzel from an animal, would he become tummy? So the question is, mi aminin gmiri netzel da'osim adam, do we say that the halacha l'moshe Sinai about netzel applies only to netzel that comes from a person, that we're saying that is similar to the flesh of the person that it's matane, avol da'osim v'behem aloi, but not if it comes from an animal, there's no halacha l'moshe Sinai about that, and therefore it would be like any other secretion from the animal, that wouldn't be matame, or maybe there's no difference, maybe the same way as by a person, not only intact flesh, but even liquefied flesh, netzel, is matame, maybe by an animal, the same kind of thing, with its own kind of tumor, of course. And the Gemara continues, Hanicha. Now to understand the next piece of Gemara, we need to introduce the machlokas that you have elsewhere in Shas, in particular in Bechoros. Now you have like this. The Torah tells us about a nevela. The Torah says, Lois seichlu kol nevela. You shouldn't eat any nevela. Like ger asher b'sharecha t'tnena v'achala. You can give it to the ger, meaning a ger toshav, who lives in your cities, and he can eat it, because a ger toshav, after all, has only accepted on himself not to worship Avodah Zarah, or maybe the other shev mitzvah menayah. He's allowed to eat nevelas. So you can give it to him or eat it, and he can eat it. So besides the actual din that we learn, therefore, that you could do that, you're allowed to give it. You're allowed to give it to a ger toshav, or the pasuk continues, you can sell it to a goy. We also learn from that something about the definition of what is considered a nevela in terms of halachas of tumah. Since it says that the ger can eat it, then the implication is it has to be something that is edible by a ger. So now you have like this. If you have an animal that even while it was alive, it wasn't roi l'achila, because let's say it was so badly infected or whatever that even if it were to be killed or shechted on the spot, nobody would eat from it. Then, when that animal dies, it's not metame as an nevela. Now, what happened, and the same thing also, if it was normal when it was alive, now it died, and the flesh has been left long enough that now it's so spoiled that even a dog won't eat it, it's also not matame tumas nevela. The question would be, and here you have machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rapada, what about if when the animal died, it was edible, now afterwards it's spoiled to the extent where a person won't eat it, but a dog will still eat it. Usually, and I mean many times in halacha, we consider, in the connection with Hilchos Chametz, for example, we're now 30 days before Pesach. We often say that something is considered chametz as long as it's roi l'achilas keler. So now what happens is, again, when the animal died, it was roi l'achilas adam. Since then, it's no longer roi l'achilas adam, but a dog would still eat it. So now, Rabbi Yochanan will hold that it's still metame tumas neveva, because it's still roi l'achilas kelev, by Pada is going to say as soon as it's no longer edible by people, then it's not called Neveh. The difference is, by Pada will say, I agree that there is something as far as Achilas Kelev, but that will be, as long as it's Roila Achilas Kelev, then all it has is what's called Tumah Kala, a lighter, a lesser degree of Tumah. Rashi over there in that sugya in Bechoris, Rashi explained that by Pada's Tumah Kala versus Tumah Chamura would be that if he carries it even without touching it, Tumah Kala would be just if he touches it. Tosfos says that no, what it means is by Pada is going to say that when it's not edible by a person anymore, then the tumah kala that it will still have, meaning the tumah of food, tumas oichlin umashkin, it will still be considered food to that extent. So now that's going to bear on our gemara over here, because after all, netzel is not edible either. So hanichal amanda amar. So it'll work out well. In other words, we can easily understand that there won't be a suffix. The lashon hanicha is a little bit odd. is a little bit odd in this connection. And in fact, there are mafoshim who take out the Rabbeinu Peretz has a different girsa and says something like loyti boiloch. You'll have no question according to that opinion, because hanicha is usually when you have a question, then the Gemara will say hanicha. We can easily answer the question according to one man d'oma. But what would be the question here? We didn't really have a question on either one of them yet that we should be saying hanicha. Anyway, so lamanda omar. So according to Bar Pada's opinion, that he says tumah chamura ad lager, that this nevela, which was edible when it first died, and now it's spoiled to the extent that a ger toshav, that a person won't eat it, and only up to that point is it matama tumah chamura, which again according to Rashi means that even if you carry it, you'll become tamei, and according to Tosfos that it'll have the tumah of nevela. So actually, really, according to both of them, that if you carry it, you'll become tamei. According to Rashi, the vote is, touching it is called tumah kala in the sense there are many different things that if you touch them, you become tamei. But tumah chamura would be carrying it, because there's far fewer things that if you carry them, you become tamei. Take for example a sheret. So take for example in our Mishnah we had actually our Mishnah is not a never mind our Mishnah. Take for example a sheret. Only if you touch it, do you become tameh, not if you carry it. And there's a lot of other examples like that. So therefore Rashi calls tumah chamura and tumah kala that distinction. Tumah chamura would be when it has still the full tumah of a nevela, even as far as carrying. Tumah kala would be where it only has tumah when you touch it. And again,
sheep would be the same thing.
Sheep.
A sheep or a behemoth.
Yeah, we're talking any kosher or non-kosher animal. It's all the same thing.
Touch.
No, that's what we're saying. A normal nevela that's still edible by people, everybody agrees that if you touch it or carry it, you become tamei.
Either one,
yeah. Now we're talking about this one has spoiled, and now it's not roi for a person to eat anymore, but a dog will still eat it. According to Bar Pada, again, not according to Rabbi Yechonon, according to Bar Pada, we're going to say at that point, it loses its tumah chamura. At this point, all it has is tumah kala. Now, what is tumah kala? According to Rashi, means that at this point, only if you touch it are you going to become tamei, not if you carry it. According to Tosfos, rather, it's going to be that up until that point, up until it spoils to that point, whether you touch it or carry it, you're going to become tamei. After that, you're not going to become tamei by touching it at all. It's only going to have the din of tumah of food. So it can be tamei other foods, but it can't be tamei a person, except maybe to a certain extent, that I'm bottom. Anyway, so if you say like that, if you say like by Pada, tumah chamura ad l'ger, tumah kala ad l'kelev, he says that the animal, the dead animal, has a stronger tumah, meaning let's take, for example, Tosfos's position, that means that it has tumas nevela, until it's not roy for the ger to eat, and then tumah kala ad l'kelev, and then it still retains tumas uchlin until it's not roy to eat by a dog. So then, in fact, there's no room for a suffix, because obviously Netzel is after the flesh decays, so it's already not Rory Lachilas Adam. So therefore, for sure, there's not going to when Abaye is asking Rot, is asking Rabba whether the concept of Netzel exists as far as an animal, according to Bar Pada, there's really no room for the question at all. Because according to him, once it was not Rory Lachilas Adam, which it had to go through that stage before it ever became Netzel, then by that point, it doesn't have Tumas Nevelus anymore. But the question would be, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that even Tuma Chamura, that even the Tuma of Nevela exists ad lakela until it gets down to the point where even a dog won't eat it. Because again, the scenario is, the animal was perfectly healthy or perfectly edible when it died. So then everybody agrees at that point it's Matama Tumas Nevela. Now it's spoiled to the extent that a person won't eat it. You no longer have Lagera Shevisharecha. Nevertheless, though, it's still Roy Lachilas Kelev, and Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, therefore, it still has Tumas Nevelus. So now, if part of it spoiled and then liquefied and became Netzel, then you're going to have the question. So, Mayu Tulemema. So, what are you going to say? Would we say that it still only applies as long as the flesh is still intact? It may be spoiled, but it's still recognizably flesh. Or would that apply even when it liquefies and becomes Netzel? So the Gemara says Toshma. Well, in other words, the question would be, would we say that maybe one, that's fine, Netzel maybe could be eaten by a dog as well, but maybe we would say that once it changed from its original form and it liquefied and became Netzel, maybe then at that point we would say, even though it's Roy Lachilas Kelev, it's really like a new substance. Tosfos calls it Afra Ba'alma. It would be like just dust. By the way, this kind of thing, as far as when one thing changes into another, whether it changes its status in halacha, that comes up in the halachas of kashrus. For example, there's a whole discussion about gelatin, for example, which is, when you get down to it, gelatin is basically netzel, but made in a way that it didn't spoil. But, it at one point, it goes through a stage when it's not edible. And it's transformed from how it was originally as the flesh or the bones or whatever it is of the animal that it's made from. So that's the thing. There was a big argument among poskim when gelatin was first invented, whether maybe we would say, even if it comes from non-kosher animals, maybe it should be mutter to eat. Al-derech laktosfos is saying over here, after ba'alma. Maybe it becomes like dust, and even though it originally came from a tummy animal, maybe it's been transformed enough that now there's no issue with it. However, many other poskim disagree, especially because over time the methods of making gelatin changed. Yeah, the fact that in kosher candies and whatnot and jello and whatever we use, for the most part they use fish gelatin, or once in a while they have gelatin. Once in a while they have gelatin from kosher shechted animals is in deference. It is in order to respect the opinions that hold that you need to have it from kosher sources. That if you were to have it from non-kosher sources, then it would remain tameh. We wouldn't say it's after ba'alma. There were in fact poskim who held that regardless, that you could even use gelatin from pigs or whatever, as they often make it from commercially, and it would be mutter because after ba'alma. And you have similar discussions about certain other things that come from non-kosher sources. There's a discussion, for example, about musk, which comes from a secretion from a certain kind of animal. According to some opinions, that's the myrrh in the Keturis. Again, it's dried and becomes a powder before they use it. And maybe even though it comes from blood, then the yeshomim that's mutter to eat, and yeshomim that not. Anyway.
It means it's
something produced by a gland in the animal, which collects in a pocket sort of inside the animal, and then you collect it from there. So the Gemara says Toshma. So let's try to bring a proof. Abraisa says, now we know there's the concept like this. The Torah tells us that so you have the nevela of an animal. We're saying if you touch it or carry it, then you become, if you touch or carry it to Zayis, so that you become Tomei. Then there's a special kind of thing called Nivlas Oif Torah. You have a kosher bird. If it died without Shechita, then it's not Metame by touching or carrying it, but it has a unique tumor. Namely that when a person swallows it, if a person swallows a kazayas or more of it, then he becomes tamei and his clothes become tamei at the moment he swallows it. So a Braisa says, Himchuhu ba'ur, suppose you were to take the fat of a dead kosher bird and melt that in the fire, Tomei, then it would still be Matame because it's normal enough to melt fat in the fire. So therefore it's still edible. People will still eat it. And therefore if a person were to now eat a kezias, if a person now were to swallow a kezias of that liquefied fat, then he'd become Tomei because it's kezias from a Nivas Otahar. On the other hand, Bahama Tahar, but on the other hand, if he liquefies the fat by leaving it out in the sun, then he'll be tahar, because then when you leave it out in the sun, it spoils, and then it's not roi lachilas adam anymore. So now the safdadach ablekela b'afilu behema nami. So here you have a different gusa that Tosfos has, that the isafdadach yesh netzal behema. If you're going to tell me that there is netzal for an animal, and the Gemara is assuming, if we're going to say that netzel applies to an animal, we would assume it applies to a nivras oif tahor as well. They're both nevela. And you have the same basic concept with them, with the difference that with a bird, it's only when you swallow it, and with an animal, it's when you touch it or carry it. But other than that, the concept of what makes it considered a nevela would be the same basic idea, if it's died without shechita. So if you're going to tell me that there is netzel when it comes to an animal, So instead of the words ablakelev, Tosfos has the words beisafgad yesh netzel behema. Then afila behema nami. Then you would have to say if you were to say yesh netzel behema ablakelev, and you were to say that it applies, that like Rabbi Yochanan says, and it's still matame the tumah of nevela until it's not roi lachilas kelev. So afila behema afila bechama nami. Then the same thing would apply, even if you melted it in the sun. Because after all, the same thing. It's not roi lachilas odom anymore. It was left out in the sun and it's spoiled, but it's still roi lachilas kelev. Yet the Braisa is telling us that if you melted the fat in the sun, then it's not metame the tumah of nivlas oif tahor anymore. So therefore, that implies that yes, when it comes to tumas nevela, once it's not edible by a person anymore. Now, Rabbi Yochanan being an Amora can't argue with a Braisa. So therefore, if the Braisa is telling us, in the case of the fact that if you melted it in the sun, then it's not metame, the tumah of nivlas oif tahor when you swallow it, then the same thing should apply as far as a nevela of an animal, as far as the netzel of it, and therefore that would be the answer. Even though, yes, you would say that the flesh, Rabbi Yochanan would say, as long as the flesh is still intact and recognizable as flesh, then it would be metame until, as tumas nevela, until it's not roi lachilas kelev. But here where it became a different substance, because it turned into netzel, or in the case of the bird, where you took the fat and melted it in the sun, and now it became like something else, then you would say that it's not metame anymore. So that would be the answer then, that netzel would not apply to an animal. But the Gemara answers, that's not a proof.
By putting it in the sun, you can change the effect.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. But the Gemara says no, because you could say, Amos come and machila, Amos come and machile, because think of it like this. When does the fat become liquefied? Basa da'asruach b'chama. Only after it spoiled sitting there in the sun. So it has to be sitting in the sun for a while and spoil before it ever liquefies. Then kiven da'asruach havalei offer. So once it spoils to that extent, it's considered like dust. In other words, it wouldn't even be roi lakelev. So netzel is one thing. Netzel was not out in the sun; it just liquefied for whatever at room temperature. And it's still roi lachilas kelev. This fat that was left out in the sun and spoiled and now liquefied wouldn't even be roi lachilas kelev. So you don't really have a proof that netzel of an animal should not be matame, and therefore maybe it is. So the Gemara has left the question open. So here, the, So yeah, the Rambam said it's a suffix. It's a suffix whether Netzel is going to be Matana because ice, because the Gemara has left the question open. So now the Gemara is going to bring another discussion. Now we're going to turn from disgusting things like netzel to delicious things like honey and then things like that. And we're going to talk about, because we mentioned about liquefying fat. So now the Gemara is going to bring another discussion in, which is going to end up talking about liquefying fat from a mess as well. But in between, we're going to talk about a certain din involving honey and other liquids. So, Tnan Hossam, really, we learn in a Mishnah in Masech HaMachshirim. Kol HaNitzer Tahor. Whenever you're pouring liquid from one container to another, then it remains Tahor. Meaning, in other words, so suppose you take a container full of Tahor liquid, and you're pouring it into a lower container, which contains Tomei liquid. Now, you have a column of liquid that's connecting them as you're pouring. We don't say that column of liquid connects them, and therefore that the truma should spread to the top container. We don't say that. And by the way, that applies also the other way around. We don't say, for example, let's say when you have a mikveh, if you have a higher pool and a lower pool, and they're connected by a nitzit, they're connected by a waterfall, they're not considered connected to become one big mikveh. It's interesting, by the way, they found in the, among the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found many copies of different books of Tanakh and so forth, which are very famous. They also found among them different other writings of the group that lived there, and among them they found, including works on essentially halacha, shkafa, and whatever. Anyway, they found ones that talk about this concept of nitzik and say that in fact nitzik is Natane. So there's a professor, there's a well-known professor, Lawrence Schiffman, from guy, he's done over the years a lot of important work on the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now you find a Mishnah in Masechta Yadayim which mentioned the number of arguments between the Tzedukim and the Chachamim, and one of them was over this point. The Tzeduki argues that Mitzvah should be considered a connection. How could you say? You're pouring from one container into another. You have a column of liquid connecting them. How could the Tumah not go from one to the other?
Because leaving, it's going out.
What's the difference? The point is, you still have liquid connecting them. If you have, for example, if you have two pieces of food in a tray, for example, and you have liquid connecting them from underneath, they're both become tamei. So the tzaduki was arguing, why should it be any different over here? And the chacham explained to him that there was a difference. In some of the Dead Sea Scrolls, you find something about that, about nitzik, that they're saying that should be tahor and criticizing people who say otherwise. So this Schiffman wants to say that based on that, at least some of those writings over there, the people who lived there may have been tzedukim, or at least they agreed with the tzedukim on that, and therefore they wrote it in theirs. But our halacha is that nitzik is not a connection. They live near the Dead Sea. They live in caves near the Dead Sea. The usual understanding is that there was some kind of there were a group that Josephus calls Essenes or Issyim. They're called in Hebrew. Like they separated from the world. They didn't marry. They didn't. They had like a whole. They lived almost like monks. So that's the usual understanding, is that there were three groups. Josephus writes that there were three groups. You had the Prushim, which means the Chachamim, the Tzedukim, and then you had these Issyim. But this Schiffman wants to say that based on that, we see that either these Issyim agreed with the Tzedukim on that, or maybe even they themselves were like a splinter group of Tzedukim or something.
If they weren't married, they would have disappeared.
Well, then they'd recruit people. They'd get people to join them by teaching them. Whatever, anyway. So we learn in a Mishnah, kol nitzik tahor. So any nitzik remains tahor. So the liquid in the top container does not become tamei. Chutz midvash hazifim, with the exception of honey of zif. Now at the end of Tosfos brings from Gemara at the end of Sota two explanations why it's called honey of zifim. Rabbi Yochanan says that the word zifim is related to the word ziyuf, which means forging. This is such thick honey that they mix it with water or with wine in order to thin it out, and people don't even realize. Like, people go and sell it. People take some of this honey, and instead of selling it as pure honey, they adulterate it with water or with wine or whatever, and people don't even realize because it's so thick to begin with. Rish Lakish says over there that there's a place in Eretz Yehuda called Zif, We find, for example, in Tilim, the Vayazifim Vayemru L'Shol, they went twice and mastered on Dov and Shol and on David the Shol. It's a place in Eretz Yehuda. So Rabbi Yerush Lakish says it's called Dvash Azifim because it comes from that area of Eretz Yisrael. Whatever the case, that stuff, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, is very thick. That's Tzapichis, and another exception as far as the rule of Mitzvah is Tzapichis. The Tosfos brings, again, two definitions. One is that it means when you take honey out of the hive, mixed together with the wax. Like this you have, you know, you have the honeycombs made out of wax over there, and then you have the honey is stored inside the cells of the honeycomb. So usually you take out, usually you separate them out, and then you heat up the honey so it flows out of the things. What?
So normally you take
out the honey without the wax. If you take it out mixed with the wax, then it becomes very thick, and that would be tzapichis.
How would you separate wax from?
So afterwards you would boil it, and afterwards the wax would float to the top or whatever. But meanwhile it would be very thick. Tosfos brings from the Oruch another explanation that it means that it's a kind of batter that was mixed with honey. Where again, so it's a very thick batter because it was made with honey, and therefore. So those kinds of things, the Dvash HaZifim and the Tzapichis, those kinds of things, Nitzik will be Tomei. Because what happens is, when you're pouring those things from one container to another, then therefore, so now you have, there is a real connection between them. It's not just, in other words, with liquids, you have, the liquid is constantly in motion. Here you have, because they're semi-solids, then so thick, and as the Gemara is going to go on to talk about, therefore there's more of a connection between the top container and the bottom container, and therefore if the bottom container is Tomei, the top one will be also. And the Mishnah continues, Beshamai says the same thing also applies to a mikvah, which is also a semi-solid kind of stew, or like a porridge made of grisin or pul. Grisin means split peas. Pul means whole peas. So they would make this kind of dish out of them, which is like a semi-solid, sort of like the consistency like of hot cereal or something. And so Bishamai says that that kind of thing also is thick enough that the same din would apply, that nitzik would apply to it as well. And Beshama says, because it springs backward. Meaning, in other words, so suppose you take some of this mikvah and you start pouring it into another container. So like this you have, you know, it's very viscous, it's very, very, very semi-solid, so it starts, so sort of springy, right? But what happens is if you stop pouring, then it sort of bounces back a little bit into the upper container. So that's considered a strong enough connection between them that one would be matam of the other. So now the Gemara says, "Boy, Rami Bahama." So Rami Bahama has a question: Yesh nitzuk lo oichlin? Does the concept of nitzuk apply as far as food? Or does it not apply as far as food? Maybe in other words, we're talking about nitzik as far as liquids. Does the concept of nitzik apply to foods as well? So suppose, for example, you were to take fat and liquefy it and pour it into food. So now if the container that had the fat in it was tahor and the food below was tamei, would tumah go up through the fat and go and be matame the fat that's left in the top table?
The bottom one is the one that's tamei.
It has to be that way because if the top one is tamei, obviously as you're pouring into the bottom one, it's going to make whatever was there tamei anyway. There's no question about that. So it has to be the whole concept of mitzvah is the other way around. So Rami Bachama asked, "Miyam Minon, do we say that the reason why the concept of nitzik applies to these things, dvasha zifim and sapachas, is mishum de ispahu riri, because they have riri in them, means like riri literally means saliva, in other words, they're very sticky and stringy." And like Beshamai said, they spring backwards when you pour in them. So in that case, Vahani, well then, for example, when you're liquefying fat, less behulivi. It doesn't have that kind of, it doesn't have that kind of stickiness and swinginess to it. So therefore, so maybe the concept of nitzik wouldn't apply. Or maybe the reason is because the dvash hazifim and whatever are very thick. And therefore, so that the, so the fact that they're thick, they're semi-solid. And therefore, that's enough to make them count, to make them considered joined together. Well, then, ha-ha, ha-smichin. Well, then the same thing. And then in that case, when you're talking about as far as, for example, pouring fat, it's also very thick. So maybe, in fact, the concept of nitzik would apply to it. Smichin literally means a very thick consistency. So a very thick consistency, and therefore maybe the din would be that would be enough to make them considered connected together. So do you require really, do you require actual like saliva-like swings that go from one to the other, or do you just need that it needs to be thick? So in other words, Tosfos says, now, what about mikvashal grusin that has these really, and still the Tanakhama doesn't care about it? So the difference would be, in other words, it has really, but they're not really as strong as with other kinds of food. So is it, in other words, that the key thing is whether it has riri, therefore the Tanakhama is going to say that the ones that you have in mikvah are not strong enough to be considered, to be considered a chibur, and Mishamai holds that it is. So in other words, it's just a question of where they draw the line, or is it that the Tanakhama would say any food that's semi-solid, any food that's very thick would have the same din. In that case, we'd say the Chachamim would be arguing about what's the idea behind, in other words, like this. There's two ways of understanding. You could say that they're arguing about the Metzius, not really the Metzius, but in other words, within really themselves, where do we draw the line? Do you have to have a lot of really or only a little bit? So the Dvash HaZifim and Tzapachas have a lot of it, and the Mikvah has only a little bit, and therefore Bishama is saying that little bit is enough, and the Tanakhama would be disagreeing. Or is it that the Tanakhama is saying anything that's thick, like Dvash HaZifim and whatever, would have the same din? However, Mikvah is not thick enough to be that. Bishama would say there's a different reason. The reason is because of Riri, and therefore they're saying to the Tanakhama, listen, you're mentioning Dvash HaZifim and so forth, which has Riri, you should be aware, Mikvah has Riri as well. So what is it? Amar Rava Toshma. So Rava says we can prove it as follows. A Braisa says, Chelev Amestru Shalim, if you have a whole piece of fat from a mess, so Kezias, Vehitichoy, and then you melted that Kezias, Tomei, then it's still Tomei as Tumas Mess, because you still have the whole Kezias together. On the other hand, if to begin with the Kezias of fat from the person was separated into pieces, so you never had a whole kezayis together, v'hitichoy, and then you melted it, so now it all becomes one pool of liquid, toher, then it still remains toher, because this is called chibure odam. This is called that it was joined together by a person. It has to be that it was naturally joined together, as it would be if you had a kezayis, a fat that was taken out of the mess to begin with. Here what you have, where beforehand it was broken up into pieces, and now you melted it, so you don't really, it's not considered to be a complete kezayis. Tosfos points out, now we did learn yesterday, we said you had the revius dama bar mishnei mason. You had, for example, a revius of blood that came from two different mason. And we said that Rabbi Akiva, we said that it's matami. You have a couple of other examples like that, but Tosfos says, as far as oihel, it'll be matame, because it's possible to have an oihel over both of them together, but it's true, it wouldn't be matame a person by touching it. But here we're talking about tuma as far as touching. So therefore it won't be, because to begin with it was separated. Now, says Rava, v'isakadaybech ein nitzik lo'ichlin, if you're going to tell me that when it comes to food, there's no concern about nitzik, that in other words, when you're, like, in Rami Bahama's question, let's say again, you liquefied fat In Romy Bahama's question, you're not necessarily talking about fat from a mess, because we're trying to find something that's tahor. It's a plain old fat from an animal, which you liquefy and you're pouring into food. And Romy Bahama was asking if the food you're pouring it into is tameh, does the container of fat that you're pouring from become tameh? So now Rava says, let's draw an analogy from the concept where you have chela from a person that you're liquefying. So if you're going to tell me that there's no nitzik when it comes to foods, then the same thing should apply, even if the whole kezias was together from the kezias chelav of the mess, and then you boiled it on the fire. Inevitably, you're going to have, as you boil it, a little bit of it is going to separate from the rest. And in effect, it's only going to be connected by nitzik. So therefore, it should also remain tahor. And yet the Braisa is telling us that if you had chelav a mess that was a whole kezayis together, and then you liquefied it, then it remains tameh. So that shows that nitzik is considered connected. Well, if it's considered connected in that case, then the same thing should have to apply. Yes, in your case, Rami Bahama, where you're talking about tahor fat that you're pouring into tamei food, then yes, it should be, the nitzik should be a chibur, and therefore, as you're pouring, and you have one end of the fat is touching the food, and the other end of the column of liquid fat is still in the container above, then yes, it should connect them, and they would be metaphoric.
But shouldn't that depend on how thick it is?
That's what we're saying, though, that the fat is thick enough that would answer the question. In other words, not a matter of really. It's a matter of dismichin, who that they're very thick, they're very thick and semi-solid, and therefore that's enough for it to be considered a chibur. The same way as with the devashas.
The higher it is, the more liquefied it gets.
To a certain extent, but not enough to make a difference necessarily. So doesn't that prove that? But the Gemara answers, Omer of Zera, Anna Uma Bredi Ravina Tagina, not necessarily, says Rav Zera, because I and Ma Bredi Ravina together, we both answered, Hocha Maya Skinan, that you could say the case that we're talking about in the Braisa that Rava quoted is going to Bahadi the Mirtachle, as you're boiling the fat from the mess. Solik amuda dinura. You have a pillar of fire, a huge flame of the fire came up. Lepume demona to the opening of the container that you had the fat in. The korash and immediately then a kazayis of it congealed all at once on the edge of the container. The isik kula gabe hadori, so the whole thing stayed together the whole time. There was no one drop that separated out at one point and then was reconnected. So you have here, there's different geosaurus over here. Tosfos leaves out Tosfos and the Rosh leave out the word denura, and they say you're going to solik omud lepumi demana. What happened was you put the fat on the fire, you started boiling it. All of a sudden, you had, as a result, there's no direct fire right there in the container, like the word amud nura would suggest. It just means, you have a fire underneath it that's boiling it. But right away, you have a kezias of it all like vaporized kind of, and then congealed on the edge of the cave. On the top edge of the cage. Well, but do you have another word? So the fire at the bottom of the pot was so intense, was so hot that the fat didn't just melt as it usually would. It vaporized and then it moved to the top of the container. Let's say the container was covered, for example, or whatever. The container was tall enough that the top edge of it is far away enough from the fire that vaporized fat reached there and it recongealed altogether over there. So you never really had it. So like this, when you liquefy it, and you can talk about a drop of it flows away, and then you have nitzik. But here, what you have, where it all congealed together in one mass on the edge of the container, then we can say that to begin with, you have the kezias was together, and now you also have it's all together, and there was never any time when any of it was really separated.
Sound like you did this from Canada.
What?
Sound like you're doing this from Canada.
Canada.
In Canada, where yeah. It's so cold.
Oh, maybe. Could be. Let's say you can talk about you're doing it someplace in cold weather. Yeah, let's say. So that's the point of Tosfos and the Rosh who leave out the word denura. The Mefarish has the word denura, and he explains, like we were saying, that it means, in other words, that you have that the flame was right there at the mouth of the container. and similar idea. In other words, it caused that some of it, that a kazayis of the fat, also like vaporized and then recongealed in one place altogether. Either way, the point is, in other words, that you don't have that liquefied, where then we can talk about nitzik, and then it recongealed, and then you have the question of whether nitzik is considered connected or not. You can say that it's talking about it never went through a liquid phase. It went directly from solid back to solid. It went from solid to vapor and back to solid.
The vapor would be
considered. No, because the vapor you can't see, so you can't really consider that a separate state. And then physically, it would be considered in physics, it would be considered a separate state of matter, but in halacha, not necessarily.
That vapor is pretty healthy.
Right. So the itzikula gabe hadavi. So you could say you have the whole. You could say you have the whole kazayas together. So maybe therefore in that case. So in that case, then you could say forget about mitzik or not. Either way, you have a kazayas of fat together, and therefore that's enough. That's enough to be matami. So not necessarily does Rava's Braisa, have a bearing on the question of Nitzik, which was Rami Bahama's question, because you can say it didn't go through a stage of Nitzik. So Amalei Rabbeinu Ravashi Toshma. So let's try to bring another proof. We said in the Mishnah that we quoted before, Veshama Emma Hamikva Shogrisin Veshapul. We said Veshama says that even a mikvah, that even the semi-solid food made out of split peas or out of whole peas, is also the concept of nitzuk applies in it. If they shan't so then lachareihen, because we said it springs backward. So therefore, it sounds like it's clearly saying that they figure the idea is really when you have these like saliva like springs that connect one part of the food to the other. So now we should assume, says Ravina, that if Bishamai is saying that that's the reason why it would be considered a nitz, that it would be considered chibur, then the Tanakhama basically agrees with that idea as well. The difference is that honey and tzapachas, that zvasha zifim and tzapachas, has much more of that, whereas mikvah only has a little bit. So therefore, so now when it comes to fat, for example, it doesn't have riri at all, then the answer would be that it's not, that there's no nis, if that would answer Rami Bahama's question. But the Gemara says, midi iria, what kind of proof is that? Hosam mishum desmichim. In fact, you could say that the Tanakhama holds that the reason is why with dvasha zifim and so forth, that nitzik applies, is because they're very thick. So nothing to do with swinging backward, nothing to do with really. Just the fact that they're thick is enough for Tanakhama to say that mitzvah should apply. So then in that case, it would apply to fat as well, because that's also thick. Hacha mishum riri, whereas according to Beis Shammai, you could say the reason is they say about riri, they're mentioning the idea of springing back. The Tanakhama never mentions such a thing. So not necessarily, according to the Tanakhama, something that's thick but doesn't spring backwards, that nitzik should be considered connected, not necessarily. Maybe only according to Beis Shammai, but not necessarily according to the Chacham. And that in fact is how the Rambam paskins that when it comes to food, we say, hey, there's no nitzik when it comes to food, only when it comes to liquids. So therefore, in a case that we're talking about over here, for example, pouring fat from a container into food or whatever, So the Rambam phrases it that only the dvasha zifim and the tzapachas, only there is nitzik chibur because of the rear, because they have these saliva-like swings, and the Rambam describes also they're very thick like glue. So, but when it comes to other food, then even if they're thick, for example, the mikvah shogrisin, or for example, melted fat or whatever, those don't have rear, so therefore nitzik doesn't apply.
Elmer's glue is a
good example. So Elmer's glue maybe would be the same thing if you were, yeah, I mean, Elmer's glue, pashtus, not makabel, tomas oichlin, because not edible. But, yeah. Okay. Now, we said in the Mishnah of Alma Loy Tarvad Rokov, we said that if a person has, a spoonful of Rokov, of dust that decayed from the mess, is also matame. So the kamashi orei. So what's the size of this tarabot or the spoon that we're talking about? Chizkiya says it means the amount that would fit in the palm of the hand. So from the edges of the fingers, from the inner edges of the fingers until the wrist, that would be the amount that's considered a tarabot. Just what you're holding the blood, like where you hold your kiddush cup, just in the palm of your hand, it would be like that. Rabbi Yochanan says it would be the entire handful, including the fingers. And the Rambam seems to understand that chofnog means a double hand, means a double handful. So it would actually be twice what so the Mefarish over here understands that it just means one handful. The Rambam understands it to mean a double handful. Like the Kohen Gadol when he takes a double handful of a Torah, right? There's an interesting, cute vort I saw about this, that you have the Gemara out there. Why is it that amount of rakav is metame anyhow? So the Gemara tells us that you have the famous idea that Hashem is going to recreate the body from the loose bone, loss of love, but you also have a different opinion that there's maloy tavid rakav. You're going to have a spoonful of rakav that Hashem reassembles the body from. And I pointed out when Hashem created Adam and Chava in the first place, He also created them like that. Now you have the famous Gemara. It was Machloikas, where the Chava was created as a separate person joined back to back to Adam, or whether she was just a zona of an extra piece that was removed from Adam. So if you say that Hashem created only one human body in the first place, then you only need half as much Rakov as you would, as if two bodies were created, and therefore that would be the underlying reason behind this Machloikas. Anyway. So the Gemara says, Tanan. Well, let's look. We have a Tanan usually means a Mishnah. In this case, we're quoting a Braisa. Maloy Tarvad Rakav Sha'amru. When the Chacham are talking about the Maloy Tarvad Rakav, Yeshnan, the size of it is, Me'ikir Etzboi Solomayla, from the roots of the fingers upward. Divrei Reb Meir. That's what Reb Meir says. So according to him, it would be only the area that you hold within the fingers. And the chametz would say a whole handful or a double handful. So b'shleimel Rav Yechanan. So according to Rav Yechanan, there's no question. Who the amak rabbanon? So he's saying according to the chachamim, el chizkiya, the chizkiya who says it's only the palm of the hand. Commandment. Who is he going like? Like the mayor, like the rabbanon. He's not going like the mayor who says only the fingers. He's not going like the rabbanon who says the whole hand, because he's saying only the palm. So which is it? So the answer, you could say maloy pisas yad, maloy kishrat spoys of lamayla chadshiyoru. Very simple. The amount that would fit in the palm and the hand, and the amount that would fit in the fingers is exactly the same amount. The fingers take up about the same amount of area as the palm and the hand, and therefore, so Chizkiya can be saying, according to Reb Meir, he's just defining it differently. Reb Meir is defining it in terms of the fingers. Chizkiya would be defining it in terms of the palm, but it amounts to the same thing. Okay, we're talking about an average person, I guess. But the Gemara answers, here's another way of answering. How do you know, you Makshan who are asking, how do you know, who says anyway that when Reb Meir uses the expression, that upward means towards the tips of the fingers, maybe on the contrary, maybe he means from the roots of the fingers, and when he says lamaila, maybe he means lamaila in the direction of the wrist, because depending how you hold your hand, your wrist is either above the roots of your fingers or below them, depending on how you're holding and using your hand. So therefore, maybe it means on the downward direction towards the wrist, to have a maloy pisas yad, which is exactly what Chizkiya said, the amount that fits in the hollow of the palm. So therefore, Bechlal, so you're asking that Chizkiya doesn't seem to be like Reb Meir or the Chachamim. He could very well be like Reb Meir. He's just expressing it differently. Or not expressing it differently. When Reb Meir himself says, from the roots of the fingers, lamaila, he doesn't mean lamaila towards the tips, he means lamaila towards the wrists. So the Gemara finishes off teku. Now, in fact, Tosfos takes out the word teku because there's no teku over here. There's no question that we left unsolved that we need to say teku on. Teku would be when you have a suffix one way or the other. Here we're just saying that we have two ways of understanding Chizkiya's opinion. So you don't really need teku. In fact, there's an explanation that the teku over here means unusually, unlike in most of Shas, what it means is teku, this this answer will stand. In other words, this is a much better answer than the previous one. To say that the fingers hold exactly the same as the palm is a little bit of a doozy. You say different people have different sized fingers, but on the other hand, to say that Reb Meir himself, to begin with, never meant the amount that fits in the fingers. He meant the amount that fits in the palm, and that's exactly what Chizki is saying, is a much more glatt answer, and therefore Teiku let that answer stand as the valid answer to Fa'en for Chizki. Okay, so we'll continue dealing tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with the dinim of Rakov.